Hello, and welcome to today's VJ Hemonc podcast. We are a global, open-access video journal bringing you the latest in hematology and hematological oncology. As you may know, March is Myeloma Awareness Month, and in this week's podcast, we will be sharing key updates with the use of CAR-T therapy in multiple myeloma. First, you will hear from Maria Victoria Mateos, who discusses the impact of CAR-T therapy on the myeloma treatment landscape, highlighting factors that must be considered to improve outcomes for patients.
Well, multiple myeloma is a complex disease, and over the last years, many novel compounds have been incorporated, resulting into a significant improvement in the overall survival. But as the treatment landscape is rapidly evolving, we realize about the fact that after the first first lines of therapy, the majority of our myeloma patients are being exposed to the three main drug classes, proteasome inhibitors, immunomodulatory drugs, anti-CD38 monoclonal antibodies. And we know that this population does represent an unmet medical need because after PI meets an anti-CD38, there is not basically any standard of care, or I would say there was not any standard of care. And now we have new possibilities, new targets, and new immunotherapeutic approaches. And during my presentation, I discussed the role of CAR-Ts, BCMA CAR-Ts, for relapsed refractory myeloma. It is good to see how both IDCell and Cilta-Cel showed to be effective in the triple class refractory population. And these two BCMA CAR-Ts are indeed approved for this population. But the good information is these two BCMA CAR-Ts had been already evaluated in earlier lines of therapy. And we have phase 3 clinical studies in which both IDCell and Cilta-Cel showed to be superior to the control arms in patients with relapsed refractory multiple myeloma after 2 to 4 prior lines of therapy for IDCell and after 1 to 3 prior lines of therapy for Cilta-Cel. So this is, I would say, the first point in order to improve the outcome for patients with multiple myeloma, to move the CAR-Ts earlier on. But we have learned other different situations that we can do in order to improve the outcome of patients with multiple myeloma. The selection of the patient, and we have information coming from the real life studies showing how the selection of the patient is crucial. And maybe we have good data coming from the real life study conducted with IDCell, in which, for example, patients older than 70 showed to be an excellent outcome with IDCell, maybe because of the efficacy, but especially because the toxicity profile is quite good. In addition, another important point in which we can improve the outcome of patients with multiple myeloma throughout the CAR-T cell strategies is the bridging therapy. Because once the T lymphocytes are collected, to try to reduce as much as possible the tumor burden before proceeding to the lymphodepletion during the manufacturing time is something crucial. In the KarMMa-3 clinical study, we had the opportunity to see how the bridging therapy was suboptimal for some patients, and this resulted in the fact that a significant number of patients died because of a progressive disease before they proceeded to the lymphodepletion. So this highlighted the need for optimal bridging therapies. In the KarMMa-3, we had the opportunity to see how patients in which after bridging therapy, the disease responded or the disease was stabilized, the outcome was significantly better in comparison with those patients in which the disease progressed after the bridging therapy. So in summary, I would say that there are different ways with the information we have right now in order to optimize the outcome of patients with multiple myeloma treated with CAR-T. And I would like to summarize saying that the selection of the patient is crucial, as well as the follow-up in the short and in the medium time. But I would emphasize the role of the bridging therapy in order to improve the outcome.
Next, Rakesh Popat briefly explains how to appropriately select patients with myeloma for CAR-T therapy and further discusses the optimal sequencing of CAR-T cells with other immunotherapies in this disease setting.
Multiple myeloma now has two licensed CAR-T cell products, so we're trying to ascertain the best patients which we should be using. One of the things which is becoming apparent or the patients not to use is patients with aggressive widespread relapse, because essentially the outcome of those patients is poor and we also see lots of CRS and ICANS. So really what we're trying to do is to select your patients, or if you do have a patient in that setting, is to give adequate bridging therapy. What we know with cilta-cel is that the risks of getting late neurotoxicity, that is the motor neurotoxicity that we see, is associated with significant disease burden and high CAR T expansion and CRS, and we have to manage that very rapidly. So back to the original question, how we have to select those patients more appropriately as having a lower disease burden, or if we can't do that, we have to give adequate bridging therapy for that. The second problem is that we are seeing that we are unable to give the CAR T cell product due to worsening disease in the manufacturing process. So again, what we're looking for is patients with a slightly lower disease burden, a slightly lower disease tempo, and lower extramedullary disease. These are the patients who are going to do much better with CAR T cell therapy. In multiple myeloma, we're very fortunate in that not only do we have two CAR T-cell products licensed, but we now have three bispecific T-cell antibodies licensed, two targeting BCMA and one targeting GPRC5D. So the challenge is, how do we manage the sequencing of these agents? And one of the things that's becoming apparent is that we need to preserve T-cell function to have the best outcome for our therapies. What's very clear is that BCMA-targeted CAR T-cell therapy is very effective and gives patients a treatment-free interval compared to the bispecific therapies, which are continuous. And them being continuous leads to the risk of T-cell exhaustion. We also see a significant infection risk with continuous BCMA T-cell antibodies, which you don't see so much with CAR T-cell therapy because you allow immune reconstitution, particularly with the use of IVIG. So in my mind, in terms of sequencing, my preference would be to offer a BCMA-targeted CAR T-cell therapy as early as possible in the treatment pathway for multiple myeloma. Now, if that patient does relapse, and we know, unfortunately, that this modality is not a curable prospect, then a bispecific T-cell antibody is a viable treatment because we are expecting a functional T-cells at the time of relapse. What you have to be careful about is, should you retreat the patient with the same antigen, or should you have a class switch? And in my mind, if you are able to give a GPRC5D T-cell antibody such as talquetamab, that would be my preference following a BCMA CAR T-cell relapse, although I would not rule out a BCMA bispecific. And of course, we should not forget belantamab mafodotin, which is an antibody-drug conjugate. It works in a very different way, and I think that belantamab is perfectly usable either pre-CAR T-cell or post-CAR T-cell due to the different mechanism of action.
Lastly, Mohamed Mohty shares his thoughts on the evolving role of autologous stem cell transplant in the era of CAR T therapy.
Autologous stem cell transplantation is a well-established treatment modality for multiple myeloma in the frontline setting in the relatively young and fit patient. And we've been performing auto transplant for more than three decades, and the efficacy is there over the long term, and the safety is also well known, with less than 1% transplant-related mortality. Obviously, now we have the cellular immune therapies, a new generation of cellular therapy, and one may ask the question, can we replace autotransplant in multiple myeloma with CAR T cells? And this is a fair and highly relevant question from a scientific and medical point of view. And we have similar stories in non-Hodgkin lymphoma, where, for instance, in some entities and some subgroups, actually CAR T cells proved to be superior to auto transplant in the relapse setting. So are we going to see this in the myeloma field in the frontline setting? I don't know the answer, to be honest, because these trials are currently ongoing. And given what we know about the relatively long PFS with the current treatment, autotransplant treatment approach in myeloma, it will take us some time before we get the results. Because I would kindly remind all of us that today, with a quadruplet induction like DARA-VRd, daratumumab, bortezomib, lenalidomide, dexamethasone, which is the most recent, I would say, these are the most recent data from the Perseus trial, followed by autotransplant, followed maybe by doublet maintenance with DARA and LEN, you are going to achieve something around 84% progression-free survival at 4 years. So you would imagine that if you're going to do better with your CAR T cells, it will take some time. Obviously, the safety profile of CAR T cell is different from auto transplant. The other important thing is that until now in the relapse setting, we envision CAR T cells as a single shot treatment. Here in the ongoing randomized trials with CAR T cell in the frontline setting challenging auto transplant, there is some form of maintenance. So maybe we're losing the advantage of having a sort of a single shot treatment. So definitely, let's say in the next 10 years, we will see some great results. Hopefully, CAR T cells will prove to be superior, because then we will move to the next generation of cellular therapy and auto transplant would retire nicely. But we should not neglect that the goal also is about accessibility and affordability. And we have to advocate for this. And I'm mentioning this because auto transplant is accessible, easily accessible in many places. It is affordable even in low and middle income countries. It may not be true today for the, it may not be true for CAR T cells, unless, of course, we see a significant development and widespread of the use of academic CAR T cells. So putting all this together, it's really very exciting for the future.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. We hope you enjoyed. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at VJ Hemonc and subscribe to VJ Hemonc podcasts on Spotify, Apple, and Podbean. Until next time.